get your call. You know, I really didn't get much of that. It was really noisy at first, but last part you cleared it up. But, so give me your call and name again.
Yeah, the call is QO4 Oscar India Mike. The name is Walt, and the QTH is up here on Lake Bowen.
Oh, I am. All right, the name here is Bill. And right now, I'm on 385, and I'm going over 85 on the overpass here at the Spaghetti Bowl. Headed home. Oh, it's really nice out here.
I feel about, well, it has been 3 years now, September the 4th. 3 years ago, I was in my shack, and I fell out the door and broke my neck, and I had bought a 30-foot pull-behind camper, and I didn't have room in the house to put my radio equipment, so I bought this camper and made a ham shack out of it. I usually come down here about 8 o'clock in the morning and turn on the VHF radio and my HF radio and say either it make contacts or either experiment with antennas.
Yes, that's great. That's a pretty good idea. Now, 30-foot camper, that's a pretty good size camper for a ham shack, so you must have a lot of gear.
Boat anchors. I buy and restore some of the old holocrafters and Lafayette radios, and I've got about 7 or 8 of them sitting around in here, still waiting on parts for everything like that. I always go into them and recap them before I even try to power them up, but usually it's a recap kit from out of a company called Ham Seed. And everything's over now. Everything comes from China. And it's all on back order. It's hard to even find five tubes now. K4 OIM for ID.
Yeah, well, that's bad. It takes a long time to get things repaired as well. Probably for a lot of the same reasons. But that's good. I started back in, my first license was 1963. So I'm familiar with a lot of that equipment and have used it. And the only thing that has tubes in it right now, I've got a amplifier has 3CX887s in it, two of them. And I've got a FT101E that I bought brand new in 1974. It's got three tubes in it, and that's the extent of it. I used to, all my gear used to be tubes. And I used to use old helicopters and my transmitters were tubes. Had HT40s and DX60s and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I bet you're having fun with it, but I expect it would be hard to get basic tubes anymore. Man, I used to have a couple hundred just loose tubes I had, but, you know, I got rid of all those. I don't have any of those anymore.
Used to come by a match pair of 6 SJ6 tubes. They put them in the TVs for the horizontal collection. And I could get a match pair of Harley Electronics for $14. And I restored a FT101 EE transceiver. And I had a time finding the six SJC six tubes. And I found a match pair, and I paid $175 a piece for them out of Russia. I repaired the radio and ended up selling it for $300. My brother asked me the other day, when you gonna sell some of those radios you got down there? They ain't for sale. And I've got about five or six straight keys here. Well, I got four straight keys and two paddles. And he asked me, what are you doing with all of those? I said, well, you on the CB. What are you doing with all them D-104s? He won't sell me one of them. He's got four or five of them.
That's terrible. Well, I didn't know those sweep tubes had gone up that much. It's in general, that finding tubes and things like that, I knew were hard. I've actually got two FT-101s. One's a E, and the other one is a double E. The tubes in both of them are good. Plus, I've got a spare, unused set of sweep tubes. Six JS-7s, I think. It's whatever you mentioned. Hold on just a minute. The station is in there. Go ahead.
I'm hearing y'all's conversation. KN4ISI. These two FT-101s also. The E and the double E.
The reason I haven't gotten rid of them is one of them, that was what I used in the 70s and 80s, and, you know, it's nostalgia. It's the reason I've kept it. It still works. And I've modified it quite a bit. Back in the day, it worked really good. I modified it for RTTY and added a bunch of stuff to it, but it's on a shelf right now. I replaced it. I replaced it with a ICOM 751A. It was in mint condition. It looked like it just came out of the factory, and of course it's all solid state. But I've got a few older rigs. Most of them are. What I've got is our current production. But, Walt, that sounds like you have a lot of fun with your radios. I tell you, I'm not too far from home here. I was coming home from the doctor, one of the doctors I go to. So I'm going to go ahead and sign. You can go ahead, chat with the other station. I'm going to pull up in the driveway and get out of here. So 73, both you guys, and 4IQ.
I believe that was your name. 73s, and I believe you said your call was K4ISI. Is that correct?
November 4, Italy, Quebec, N4IQ. I got that in the mid-70s. It's not a vanity. When they first came out with the ends, I traded in my WA4OWY had for years and years for that one. And I've really enjoyed using it. I like CW, and it's a good CW call. All right, Walt, 73C, N4IQ.
Good CW call. I don't believe you could be hard to beat by call K4OIM 73, Bill. And the other station that's in there, you still there?
73, Bill. Didn't get that call. 73's, I'm just 3 years old. Kilo November 4, in your here, India. Back to you.
Name here is Walt. I'm up here on Lake Bowen in Inman. And waiting on the net tonight. I don't believe I've heard you ever check in. We have the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society has a net every night at 9 o'clock with a different net controller each night. And it just so happened that tonight's my night to be the net control station. So I'd like to invite you to check in.
Well, I didn't know there was a net on here. I just heard y'all talking. Anyway, it's, my name's Mike. Mike India Kilo Echo. Call sign KN4ISI. Kingsport, Tennessee. I didn't mean to interrupt the net. Sorry.
The net starts tonight at 9 o'clock. Am I talking to you over Echo Link?
Lost you. You faded out on me. I'm in Kingsport, Tennessee. Where are you located? What's your location?
I'm in Inman, South Carolina. And we've got a repeater up on Mount Mitchell at 3,500 feet. And I can't believe I'm talking to a station in Tennessee without going through Echo Link. The name here is Walt, by the way. N4ISIK4OIM.
4IOM, Walt. Yes, you're fading out on me in and out, but I've got a really good copy on you, though. I'm on FM, which I'm sure you are, too, but Inman, South Carolina. I used to drive a truck. I've drove through there before, no doubt. Got friends in South Carolina. Sure do. Down Charleston. Anyway, KN4ISI, Kilo November 4, India Sierra, India. This is Mike on this end. Over.
It's K4OIM. You drove a truck and came down I-26 out of Asheville going through Greenville, Spartanburg. You crossed Lake Bowen down here I'm about 2 miles from the North Carolina-South Carolina line, and I-26 runs up right up through my backyard, Mike. KN4ISIK4OIM.
K4OIM, that made my day. Yes, sir, I've drove right through there, no doubt. I was trying to think. I've got friends that live up in North Carolina and use that Mount Pisgah repeater. Do you use that any? Over.
Had never used that Mount Pisgah repeater. The one that our club's got is on Mount Mitchell. But I know I could reach Mount Pisgah and went there. I usually come down here in my shack about 7, 8 o'clock every morning and turn my 2 meter on. And then I've got a Yaesu FT950. Transceiver. I turn it on and I sit here and monitor or either check into some nets. And this repeater here, we have a net every night of the week with a different net control station. And tonight's my night to call the net. Now, I can't believe I'm talking this far without going through Echo Link. Propagations, gods are good today, Mike. Back to you, Mike.
Well, I heard every word you said, and I have never used Echo Link. I work on radios a little bit off and on, and I keep a lot of old radios in this office here, in my office. I've got two 101 EX got an E and a double E, and I have a 2100B amplifier. One of my 101E's on the shelf over here. It's on the desk. I'm working on it. I got to retube it, recap it, and all that. But, Lord, you sound good. You sound good up here in Tennessee. If you know where Kingsport, Tennessee is, I'm about 20 miles south of Bristol Motor Speedway. Southwest, I guess.
Exactly where are you at? I used to go to Bristol every year. When I first got out of the Navy back in 68, I was a heavy equipment operator in the Seabees, and when I got discharged, I couldn't find a job in construction, and I'd worked in a body shop. I went to the employment office, and they sent me down there to talk to this guy, Mario Rossi, about working in his shop. He hired me on at the time. It was when Bobby Allison was driving for Rossi. And I worked with him about 2 years, and I got to go to every race. And when they split up, I went to David Pearson and worked for him about 3 years. He retired, and then I went to work to Cotton Owens for about 4 years before he retired. And yeah, I was heavy in the NASCAR, and I know exactly where Kingsport's at, Mike. Back to you, Mike.
Sure, I'm up on the side of Base Mountain, up here next to Base Mountain Park. Not changing the subject or anything, but didn't one of those Allison brothers have a windshield come out on him there and hurt him really bad? Over.
I think who it was. I remember that, but I can't think who the driver was, Mike.
It was Davy Allison or David Allison. It came out on him. I don't know if it killed him or not. Over.
Oh, man. My mind went blank. It was Bobby and... It wasn't Bobby, because he's still alive. Well, he'd retired when his son, Davey was, it was Davey that the windshield come out on, and, but he died in a helicopter. Helicopter crashed right there at the racetrack.
I didn't know that. I grew up watching them there. I sure did there, Hey, daggone, I was a Richard Petty fan, too, but I grew up watching them back in the 60s and 70s, over.
Here, I'm 73, almost 74. I'll be 74 in February. I went from painting race cars to painting caskets. That was one heck of a change. But I painted caskets for about 4 years, and breathing that paint back then in the paint booth, you didn't have no exhaust fans and all. And I got tired of it, got to getting sick, knowed it was hurting my lungs, and I went back to running heavy equipment, and I run an excavator for about 43 years till I retired 10 years ago, Mike. What line of work are you in, K4OIM Friday?
I'm retired. I retired from a truck driving. KN4ISI, by the way. And my father, that's all he done all his life was heavy equipment. he operated everything from a dozer, a track hole, a pan, you name it, he operated it. He quit for about 2 years and opened up a car lot. It didn't work out too well because he only had 8th grade education. And I don't know. But the car lot deal didn't work out too well, so he retired as a heavy equipment operator. But I've been a truck driver most of my life there until now. And I'm retired now. Go ahead over.
10, 11 years ago, and I don't know if you heard me or not, but when I was talking to Bill a while ago, I was in my shack when Hurricane Irma come through Puerto Rico, and I was on the hurricane net, and my back door to my camper blew open. I got up and went back there to shut it. I had a stroke, fell out the door, and landed straight down on my head, broke my neck. I laid out there in the rain and all night, paralyzed from my neck down. And my daughter come out and found me the next morning. And I'm lucky to be alive. They said I was so lucky that I'm not paralyzed from my neck down, or even being alive. But in all, I stayed in the hospital about 6 months. And the only thing that bothers me now, I can't straighten out my fingers on my left hand, and I can't hold nothing. I can reach to get a glass and pick it up, and my hand just opens up and drops whatever I'm trying to pick up. But if that's the only thing that bothers me, thank God I'm still alive and ain't paralyzed, Mike. Back to you, K4, OAM.
Well, I hate to hear that, man. Do you have family do you have any family that helps you out there? Over.
The July the 4th, before September the 4th. I never had thought about it that way. But I lived up on Lake Lanier in North Carolina, and I was sitting out there Saturday evening on the porch, and I got to feeling funny, and I called my daughter and told her, I said, honey, something's wrong. I said, I'm just feeling weird. She said, Daddy, I'll be there just... No sooner than I got off the phone, she'd done called 911, and the ambulance come up and got me and took me to the hospital, and I had a mild stroke. And when I got out of the hospital, my daughter said, Daddy, you don't need to be by yourself. She had a big four-bedroom home for just her and my grandson, and she talked me into moving in with her, and so I bought this camper because I didn't have room. She ended up getting cheated out of that house and bought this place up here on Lake Bowen, but we moved up here, and I got my camper about 15 foot away from the house. And the only time I go in there is to go to bed, Mike. But she's my only daughter, and I love being around my grandson. He's 5 years old now. And sometime I'll be down here and it gets dark, and I ain't got no flashlight. I'll call up to the house, and my grandson, he comes down here with the flashlight to get me where I can get back up to the house to go to bed. But it's worked out pretty good, Mike. I thank God every day for what I ain't got much, but I thank God for what I have got. And back to you, KM4ISI, K4OAM.
This is
K4O, Golf Whiskey Romeo, requesting radio audio.
Anybody, let me know if I did, over.
Coming in there, Mike, and you're fading away yourself. So, Mike, I'm going to say 7-3s. I've enjoyed talking to you up there in Kingsport, Tennessee. So, Mike, I'm going to say 7-3s, and really enjoyed the conversation. K4ISI, K4OIM, 7-3, Mike.
KM, over.
Things on. Somebody talking over, and I don't know. I'm going to say 7-3s, Mike. KM4ISI, K4OIM, 7-3, Mike. Enjoy the QSO.
Can you tell me if you're on Echo Link or not? Over.
I'm not on Echo Link. I'm on FM.
I was wondering if you were on Echo Link, KN4ISI.
KN4ISI? No, I'm on FM. I am not on Echo Link. NUE, K4OIM. 4NUE, K4OIM.
K4OIM, W4DJW. K4OIM, W4DJW.
W4DJW, K4OIM. How you doing today, Dave?
Hey, Walt. I'm not really retired. I haven't committed yet, but I'm acting like I'm not really a doctor, but I play one on TV. It's kind of a deal. Anyway, I'm enjoying it. I'm doing all kind of airplane stuff and knocking out a bunch of honeydews at the same time. Right? Do a honeydew, do an airplane. Do a honeydew, do an airplane, back and forth. I just looked up Mike. You were talking to KN4INI, or ISI, KN4ISI, Mike, in Kingsport, Tennessee. He's on the other side of Johnson City, north. He's north of Johnson City, which Johnson City has a 6-1 repeater, too. I wouldn't doubt he thinks that you're on Echolink on their repeater. He probably doesn't know that he's coming all the way down to Greenville, South Carolina, or Caesar's Head. He probably doesn't know he's coming all the way down, unless you told him. I just turned up the volume a few minutes ago. But I think that's why he's asking you if you're on Echolink. He's probably wondering what's going on here. But anyway, that's a long haul from north of Johnson City down to here. And he sounded really good. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. W4DJW.
K4 Golf Romeo standing by. How about the oven?
OIM, you got a lot of white noise and you're barely hitting the repeaters. This is Walt in Edmond.
Did I make it in on that last transmission, Walt?
This is your friend to the end, KO4 BWR, waving with a big five-finger wave. Walt, hope you're doing well. Doug in Greenville.
AW, could you copy him? He's fading in and out on me up here.
I did, but I don't know if I'm making it into the repeater or not, because I was talking a minute ago and I didn't ever hear you come back. Did you hear me? I might have doubled with him. I don't know.
I didn't hear him at all. You're perfectly readable. No white noise, no nothing.
Okay. Well, I was talking about the other guy. There's a KO4 something with an R in it, not KO4 VWR or something like that. And then there's the KN4 ISI that you were talking to. That's Mike, north of Johnson City, Tennessee. Did you realize where he was? He's a long way from the repeater.
He's working in NASCAR. He's right there at Bristol, Tennessee racetrack, right there on the Virginia line. I think he said he was 20 miles away from Bristol. And I couldn't believe I'd be talking to him without going through Echo Link.
Did you know that, or did he know that he was talking to somebody on the Caesar's Head repeater? Did he ever figure that out during the course of your conversation with him?
Yeah, but there after I signed with him, he came back asking me if I was on EchoLink, and I went back two or three times and told him no, I was on FM. But he knows where the Mount Mitchell repeater is at, and Mount Pisgah. Because he said he was a truck driver before he retired and came right down through here. And I told him the I-26 is right here in my backyard. I'm about 2 miles south of the South Carolina line up here.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if he knew how far he was going. There's been a storm of activity from, you know, changes in the weather and that big electromotive force that came out of the sun, right? That a whole bunch of particles from the sun hit us, and that's making VHF do a little bit better than it would. It's not a cloud burner like it used to be. It's a little bit of us bouncing back down from the ionosphere because of that EMF. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. Well, I looked him up to see how far away he was, and he was a long way away. He's on the other side of Johnson City. And I know there's a 6-1 repeater in Johnson City. And I'm thinking he's on that repeater, not on this repeater. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there, Walt. Good to hear you on the radio. I'm going to go back to my piddling in the shop. W4DJW.
I get my logbook out and get ready for the net tonight. I always look forward to Tuesday night because I know the next night is a Gary's turn with the swap net, and I enjoyed listening to Gary, and I really enjoyed calling the net, and I'll let you get back to feeling. W4DJWK4OIM73, Dave, talk to you tonight on the net.
All right, Walt, looking forward to it, and good to hear you on the radio. K4OIM, W4DJW, clear and back at it.
K4JWA.
Hey, are you down in the shop now?
I'd be a cross-banding fool.
Okay, well, that mic you're on is a little sensitive for how you're using it. Hold it away from your mouth about 6 more inches further and try that again.
That way I'm not eating the mic. Yeah, I'm inside my building, at that metal building, and I've been listening to pretty much everybody all day, and I've actually gotten a little bit of junk done, especially on that Bloody Wonder.
I saw the pictures of that. That looks really good. I like the two-tone effect. That's a pretty good, I think it's unintended consequences. I think that's what they call that, but it looks good. I like that.
A large white stripe down the middle, I think will help me discern upside down from right side up.
Well, I'm going to have to build one like that now, you know. It just looks good. I just like the way it looks. Hey, I was reviewing the telemetry logs from yesterday's flights, and I figured out that I can put that on, well, because of my analysis, I ran across this thing that this guy did, and he was super excited about it. He was able to put that telemetry on his radio. He had a radio like mine. So I went out there and did the same thing, and I've got now five views zoomed in at different levels. So that now you can watch that as it happens on the radio itself, the radio that you're holding in your hand. You don't have to go to the ground station or to the computer that's running the telemetry on it. You can view it right there on the transmitter.
That's great. Well, all right. So are you going to try this multi-frame flight tomorrow?
I don't know. We can't. I don't know if I'm going to be quite ready for that, but you mean like following you, or you mean like putting one up there in like a repeater in the sky?
talked about doing multiple images on a pattern and doing the stitching. I know you don't have the LIDAR or the other sensors yet, but I thought you were working on doing that pattern.
Oh, I've got that pattern ready to go. I can launch that tomorrow, yeah, without any problem. And I've got to figure out how to get the hero to point down and take pictures, you know, like every 2 seconds or something like that. That's not an issue. I did look up the LIDAR sensor. That's like a $220 sensor. So I'm looking for alternative. I'm not looking at building a solution that costs thousands of dollars. I want to keep the cost low. So I did find another flow solution, but I got to make sure it's going to be, you know, do what we needed to do. And then I'll go with that flow. But I do want to be able to do the follow me with, like, put some kind of a GPS in your one of your airplanes and just have it follow wherever you go and be able to keep up with you. I think that's what the communication protocol has to be, fast enough that you're sending the data, you're getting good reception, and you're sending the data fast enough that I can stay behind and above, like 30 feet behind you and 10 feet above you, so that if you slam on brakes, I go zooming by you, I don't run into the back of you, that kind of thing.
All right, well, listen, I've got a business call that's just come in. I'll call you back shortly, or, you know, later on or tomorrow sometime, and we'll see if we can't get that thing out there and get some of that tried out. So I'll talk to you later, Dave. 73 is KN4VWA, clear.
All right, catch you later. And if you decide you want one of those receivers before yours get there, I still got those two that came in. You can do that. KM4VWA, W4DJW, clear and back to work.
E4CBA Mobile.